Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Wyatt. Folks, we're talking about Kanye West, Donald Trump, the Oval Office, the state of Black America, and how we must have a very low bar in our community. Because someone said in the last hour about Kanye West going to Donald Trump and really just kind of ranting and raving. He said at least he's doing something. Georgette Hoya on Facebook Live says, wow, the bar is really low for us all. If all we have to do is at least we're doing something. Yikes. Dwayne commented, he said, just because you're doing something does not mean you're doing the right thing. If you have not heard Kanye's rant with Donald Trump that went on for 10 minutes straight, please understand it was in the Oval Office. So every single news press, television, radio from around the world were in the Oval Office live streaming Kanye West, who, in the opinion of a lot of international newspapers, spoke for Black America. Let's play a clip of it, and then I'm coming right to your phone calls.
There's infinite amounts of universe, and there's alternate universe. So it's very important for me to get Hoover out, because in an alternate universe, I am him. And I have to go and get him free, because he was doing positive inside of Chicago, just like how I'm moving back to Chicago. And it's not just about, you know, getting on stage and being an entertainer and having a monolithic voice that's forced to be a specific party. You know, people expect that if you're Black, you have to be Democrat. I have I've had conversations that basically said that welfare is the reason why a lot of Black people end up being Democrat. They say, you know, first of all, it's a limit to amount of jobs. So the fathers lose the jobs, and they say, we'll give you more money for having more kids in your home. And then we got rid of the mental health institutes in the 80s and the 90s, and the prison rates just shot up. And now you have Chirac.
So welfare is the reason that we become Democrats. That's Kanye West, who is giving his intellectual analysis of the state of Black America. He also stated that in an alternate universe, his role is to get people free. In the midst of all this, he talked about the 13th Amendment again. He doubled down with the 13th Amendment, called it a hatch in the ground, that we get rid of that because that's keeping us in this state of, you know, mental enslavement. He then went into race relations. He then went into how much he loves Donald Trump and Make America Great, and how our job is to make our president look good. Yes, he did all of that 10 minutes straight. We're talking about it because Kanye West is being put forward around the world as a spokesperson for Black America. That he's speaking for us. This is what the world saw today. Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. I have Clarence on the phone. Clarence, how are you?
Good afternoon, Dr. K. Haven't spoken to you for a while.
I know. I'm glad you called in from New Freedom, Pennsylvania.
Yes. A few things here. To the people that called in about Barack Obama not doing anything. Well, who are the businesses owned by in this country? And a lot of us did not support him.
Mm.
And a lot of us do not know who our congressperson is, his
right.
councilperson. The other day on your program, you said get out and vote.
Yes.
Okay, well, not only do you have to vote, you have to be involved.
Yes.
The district that I live up here in Pennsylvania is a Republican senator in the House, Republican in Harrisburg. They know me by face and name. And it's a group of us up here, we push. And
right.
why did Marylanders let Jealous and Hogan get away with one town hall? Why aren't these people, if you're going to vote for somebody, like a lot of Black people I know are going to vote for Hogan, my question to them, have you spoken to them?
Nope. Now, I want to make a note, because I've seen this on Twitter where Ben Jealous was actually pushing for more.
Yes,
he wanted
he is.
More. I did
he
not
is.
See. There has not been a response thus far on Twitter from Hogan's camp, but Ben Jealous has said more than once, hey, I'll do it. In fact, I actually jumped into that Twitter discussion. Hey, both of you, come on the show. Let's have a debate right here on the show.
That's correct.
So,
my other point is, I don't know what to say. I turned Kanye's remarks off. I was listening to it on the radio. Last Friday, the Republican women for Trump and Kavanaugh had a big meeting, I think it was in D.C., on prison reform.
Right.
And you have a lot of African-American women that had been released from prison, and they say they're going to vote for him.
Right.
And I'm going to say these two things and get off the air.
Okay.
Donald Trump isn't doing anything for nothing. If you listen, I listen to every speech that this man makes. I don't miss them. The last couple of things that he's had in the last 2 weeks, Fox even stopped showing it. And listen to his speech, 99% white folks. This is our flag, our country. So to any African-American that wants to vote for him, remember, Donald Trump don't do nothing. He's going to get something.
I appreciate that.
He invited Jim Brown and Mr. Kanye there, and he's putting them out there to be last.
For a reason. Something's going on. Thank you so much. We have Terry on from Pikesville. Terry, how are you?
And Mr. Kanye there.
Terry, can you turn your radio down, please?
Be last. For a reason. Something's going on. Thank you so much. We have Terry on from Pikesville.
Terry, are you here?
I'm fine, Dr. White. I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for holding on.
I'm calling because Donald Trump has nothing to do with Black America.
Okay.
Kanye West has nothing to do with us either. Okay? He was brought up in a rich home with a mother that was a doctor. She wasn't a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
She was a doctor. Mm-hmm. So he was exposed to things that most of us are not. Okay? To me, using him today, he was the Muppet Man. You know how you said it earlier. You say he was shucking and jiving. Okay, he was. Okay. I don't understand why Black America has so much, it's like everybody has low self-esteem. Okay, and they don't see themselves as being great. So therefore, you can't push up another Black man that's great.
Right.
Barack Obama couldn't do a lot and out communities because what? It was the first Black man in office. We had, what, 42 white ones in there?
Come on.
Is Come on. Right?
I'm with you. Yes, no, I'm agreeing with you. Yes, the idea, well, we have to go back because when you start talking about all the white men, the idea that when he finally got into office, how do you undo not just the white men who had been president, but also the white men who had been sitting on the Supreme Court, the white men who had been sitting in the Congress and the Senate? I mean, you talk about hundreds of years of policies coming from one perspective.
And it doesn't stop, Dr. K, because Black people do not stick together. Don't you know if women, Black women just alone, Black women, Hispanic women, if we marched on Washington, I said this in church on Sunday, okay? If you marched on Washington right now,
mm-hmm.
we can get things done. Nobody wants to actually take that risk. We don't have any more leaders. Who's the new leader of the Black race these days?
Yeah, I agree.
We don't have one. Okay, so in my view, we need to wake up.
I agree. Thank you so much for calling. Folks, I just want to throw this out because Kanye West said today about not having a father in the home, that he did not have much involvement with his daddy. Now, his parents did divorce when he was 3 years old. He moved with his mother to Chicago, Illinois. His mother was a professor of English at Clark Atlanta University and the chair of the English department at Chicago State University. I just want to make a note. She was the chair. That is a huge position to ascend to. He was raised in a middle-class home. His father, Ray West, a former Black Panther, was one of the first Black photojournalists at the Atlanta Journal. His father was later a Christian counselor and opened up a Good Water store and cafe in Lexington Park, Maryland. He got startup capital from his son. So I just want to make a note about him saying how Donald Trump is that father figure. He sees him as a father. He actually had a number of people in his life, his mother and his father. His father wasn't always there. He didn't live with his father, but he did have his father in his life. We are talking about Kanye West. I don't know about him looking at Donald Trump as a father figure. I found that to be a very disturbing comment. 410-319-8888. We have Patrick Scientific on the phone. He's the host of Audio Infusion here on WEAA. Patrick, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling in.
You made a comment that said, like, Kanye I guess, represents Black America?
Oh, no, that the according to the international newspapers and the ways that they're reporting it today, they see him as a representative of the Black community.
But the funny thing is, we know that's not true.
Right.
Because people all over the world have friends in the United States that are Black, and they can easily ask us, what do you think about Kanye? And all the stuff that gets put up on him on the internet, no one can realistically think that. Whatever those papers they're saying, there's a point where, nah, no one's believing that. No one really is believing that. I guess they're trying to sell papers or something.
Right.
But there's a point where, I mean, you got to think about it, too. Trump only won 62, he only got 62 million votes.
Yes.
65 million people voted for Clinton.
Oh, yes.
So there's a point where the people know, people all over the world know, that it's Kanye. It's not to be taken seriously. Not in the least bit.
So then as Black people, how do we push back? Or do we push back at all? Maybe it's not even worth pushing back. Maybe we just disregard them.
I don't think we need to push back on what the papers say. I mean, if you keep putting out stuff like that, you'll be regarded like the National Enquirer. Like, oh, yeah, this is what they put out. Yeah, whatever. So that's just on those newspapers that are doing that. If they feel that's the case, then their credibility is shot, not Black America or anything. I wouldn't be concerned with it.
All right.
And, the only thing that might concern me is what if white people think of it outside of the United States. But, of course, they can easily get a clue. Go on Black Twitter, Black Facebook, Black whatever, and figure out that, oh, yeah, no one really likes Kanye like that.
All right. Thank you so much, Patrick Scientific. Thanks for chiming in. We have John on the phone from Maryland. John, how are you?
How are you? I'm doing well.
Thank you for calling.
I am so, I don't know what to say. I am so sick of this coonery, buffoonery, this mess. We need to, as African-American people, call these people into a venue where they need to give an account to the things that they're saying.
Right.
They need to, and just like other communities do, preferably I won't name them, but they bring people in. If you out there trying to say you represent us or representing a cause of a group of African Americans, then you need to answer to what you're saying. And we as African American people need to do that. Now, my other point is, Black people who are voting for Hogan, you need to think about how your children was cold in the school system. They were cold in the wintertime and hot in the summertime.
Yes,
that's
a good
all
point.
I want to say.
That's a good point. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Folks, one thing with Kanye West, one of the things he said today in his 10-minute soliloquy after he dropped the F-bomb and also gave his password to his iPhone, which was kind of weird, but he went on to say that Donald Trump is on a hero's journey right now. He may not have thought he'd have a crazy effer like me, but he is supporting Donald Trump. And Donald Trump said, hey, you know, maybe one day you can be president. Kanye said, not till 2024, not till, in a sense, after you. We have John N. on the phone from Baltimore. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dr. Whitehead. I wanted to say, not only I want to emphasize the title in front of you named Dr. Whitehead, but also Mrs. Whitehead. You have represented a good representative of what it is to be a leader in our community.
Thank you.
A mother and a wife for taking up for your husband the other day saying, you know, hold up now. I love my husband. today, I want to make a comment about a caller. About 10 callers ago that called you because he was in support of Kanye West. Your show has always been about open debate. Now, one side of it. So I was offended by him raising his tone at you for giving him a platform to say what he wanted to say. So I would like to say to any callers out there, especially men, Black men, do not call the radio station. Do not raise your voice at Dr. Whitehead because she's doing a service to our community. And I want y'all to know that. And if I happen to be in the presence of a time when someone feel like they can disrespect Dr. Whitehead for doing the great work that she's doing for our people and our children, I don't know how I'm going to take that. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you so much, John, and I appreciate you. Thank you very much. Folks, I got folks who got my back. I just want to put that out there, and I appreciate that. We have Paul W. He's in West Baltimore going to East Baltimore. Paul, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Dr. K. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
that if people got your back, you're right, we got your back. We might disagree and things like that, but it's no more than a discussion.
Thank you.
I'm like everybody else. Kanye West don't represent me.
Yeah.
We got a lot of strong minds, and we got a lot of problems. We got a lot of people that stand out front, and I hate to say it because he's the last one left, Al Sharpton, and a couple of the pastors and stuff that's involved. We got people in D.C., part of the Root, and I think she's Caucasian,
right,
and things like that. We got yourself, and we got Faraji, because they need to put some new blood in there. Y'all got some new questions. Not new questions, but we got the same questions, but we want some different results.
Right.
What is he? He ain't nothing but a reality star, so what do he bring on? He bring on entertainer.
Yeah.
That's all Kanye West is. That's all we know him for.
Right.
We know him for being entertaining. And that's all the young people, the ones that's not voting, the ones that are voting, that they live off of that reality TV stuff. You know, friends of mine, they look at the news. You know, it's not like it was when Walter Cronkite and Jerry
right,
Turner.
Back in the day, yep.
They did the investigation and stuff like that. So after Brown Gumbel and them rolled out, a lot of it, they just write what they want to write.
Yep. I agree.
But he, the only person I'm going to kneel to, and there's only one person on this earth, or a few people on this earth, it's the women in my life, my mother, my aunts, the people that I respect. It could be your mother, your aunt, them ones that looked
right
out for me and got me where I'm at. And God, if I get fortunate enough to kneel before him, before I walk through the gates of heaven and walk into that mansion with that big flat screen TV.
You too, Paul. I appreciate you. We have Mary on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Mary, how are you?
Dr. K, for taking my call.
Yeah,
and also, I'd like to thank the brother for standing up for you like that. That was definitely, you know, a call. Thank you very much. What I called to say was, I don't know if anyone remember. I don't know if you remember because you could be a young girl. I don't know how old you are. But when James Brown went to the White House and the uproar about him, he was ready to burn his records down and march on him and everything like that, called my Uncle Tom. When reality, when James Brown told the story, supposedly Richard Nixon was supposed to promise him to give Dr. King birthday on the calendar.
Oh, wow.
So that
okay.
was the bait card that pulled him out. But once he reneged on what he said he was going to do, left James Brown, his slick head self, looking like an egg on his face, you know. So I just want to know if you remember that when it happened.
But I remember my father talking about it.
Okay.
When he was talking about, you know, the black folks who go to the White House need to be a little bit suspect. When I was invited to speak at the White House when President Obama was president, my dad said, well, you know, let's talk about that. Because sometimes you go into the White House and you think you're going in for one thing, and you come out like James Brown, not sure what happened.
For you, Dr.
It was wonderful.
The White House
I loved it. It was wonderful. I went 3 years in a row, and I took my dad the last time with me. Because I wanted my dad to be able to see President Obama as president before he left office.
Yes, ma'am. But thank you very much for taking my
Thank you, too. All right, we have Lawrence on the phone from Annapolis. Lawrence, how are you? And thank you for holding.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
The buffoonery and the idiocy to hear somebody compare Kanye West to Martin Luther King or Frederick Douglass.
Malcolm X, Gandhi. They actually said Jesus Christ.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
To think that he in any way could carry the sweat off of the brow of any of the people that were named is unbelievable. It's detestable.
Yeah.
To hear that, to fight the challenges that even when James Brown went to the White House, he was going for a mission on behalf of black folk. It wasn't to go to bow down, to kiss his feet and to tap dance.
Yeah.
And to think that Kanye, and again, I hate to say it, I can't even listen to 45. There's nothing that he says that's intelligent enough that maintains my attention. And then I guess the person who he had in his company today is basically on the same level that he is.
Yeah. I mean, he sat there listening to him.
And the portions that you played sounded so unintelligible that I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that you said that. I just want to make a note. I like what you said about the bending down to kiss his feet. I was very disturbed that Kanye kneeled before him and the desk. I thought that was a very disturbing image to see.
And I think what it is that he's steadily trying to gain some leverage or to gain some prosperity and limelight based on relationship that Beyonce and Jay-Z had with the Obamas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just bewildering, you know? And for somebody to say, oh, maybe he can do something. I don't care if he does something. You're not going to spit in my face and give me $500 and say I'm looking out for you.
Right. I
that
agree.
Makes zero sense, folks.
I agree.
Just because somebody does something for you, there's a sense of morality and values that we have that we ought to stand up and speak out when wrong is wrong. And just because somebody says they're going to hand you something doesn't mean that they're looking out for you. And what are they doing with the other hand?
I agree. And usually stabbing you in the back. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for calling. We have Charles on the phone from Baltimore. Charles, how are you?
I'm having a bad day, Dr. K.
Uh-oh, what's wrong?
Yeah, I was just over there at the Workforce Center doing my free business, Metallic Maniac, picking up for one of my customers. And I had a guy up on the roof that said he's the chief of police, the head of the police over there. He starts lying on me. He starts, making insinuations, saying that I'm doing illegal stuff. And I'm saying I'm waiting for my customer to come out. And the guy just starts saying, I'm going to arrest you. You're trespassing and zapping out. I've been discriminated for being a black man working at Morgan State University.
And that just happened today?
It just happened. And I called to find out how I could do a complaint. And they're telling me to send an email. And I'm like, y'all don't have anybody to investigate now?
Right.
The guy's still up on the roof at the Workforce Center. Go find out who he is. But they won't do that.
You know what I'm going to have you do, Charles, because we take what you say seriously. Can you just hold on 1 second? Justine is going to come on the line with you and get more information. We're going to look into this for you. Folks, when you have issues like this and you call us, you understand that here on Today with Dr. K, we take your concerns seriously. It doesn't matter what your age. We have gone out on behalf of children who called and said they didn't have their bus to pick them up. We've gone out on behalf of teachers who called and said they had some concerns in their schools. We are here for you. We take very seriously when we say, if it has your ear, it has our attention. We have now David on the phone from Baltimore. David, how are you?
Good evening, Dr. K. Thanks for taking my call. How
Absolutely.
Are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be brief. John called a couple calls ago, and I thank you, John. I'm lockstep with you. Too many slick mouths calling in. Change your vernacular, young men and grown men. Change your tone. You're talking to Dr. K. Don't disrespect our sister. And as far as Kanye is concerned, I have no rest. Washed up, moved to Russia with Russian Agent Orange, hand in hand with y'all. He's done and you're done.
I like that.
Thanks for my call, Dr. Kane. Thanks, John, for calling in, brother.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate that. And thank you, John, definitely, for standing up for me. I appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I have Eric and Gene on hold, and I'm going to take some more comments off the Facebook Live because the whole conversation there is popping off at this moment. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm Kelly. This month, we're celebrating our WEAA survivors as Warriors of the Pink. That's right, we're saluting you, breast cancer survivors, with an opportunity to share your story on air with our entire WEAA listening audience. To participate, visit our website at weaa.org. We can't wait to highlight you as our next Warrior of the Pink.
Randallstown to Greenbelt and everywhere in between. We're loud and kicking. The voice of the community. WEAA 88.9 FM.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, I want to say I'm just so appreciative of all the brothers and sisters calling today to give me a little bit of love and tell me that you support me. I do so appreciate it. I do love doing this job. Take a lot of hits, but it's okay. I'm still standing. I want to talk about Kanye West. We have been going through Kanye's comments today at the White House. He went into the Oval Office. He came in the door. Now, I want you to picture this. It's international press, national press, cameras popping, everybody's there, television, radio, they are in the house because they're there when Donald Trump speaks. Donald Trump is sitting behind his big desk in the Oval Office. Kanye comes in and he kneels right down to show his respect and to show his love. Donald Trump mentions what Kanye's sitting down, how much Kanye likes him. Kanye cuts him off. It's like, no, it's not that I like you. I love you. I love this man. Gets up, runs around the desk, gives him a hug, gives him, you know, daps him up. And Donald Trump says, I know you feel that way. I just didn't want to put you on the spot. Yeah. Kanye is being put forward as a spokesperson for the black community because he was supposed to be there talking about prison reform. His understanding of prison reform is get rid of the 13th Amendment. We will provide jobs for all who are free from prisons. We abolish the 13th Amendment. He's back on that bandwagon. I think we should talk about it. I want to share some comments from Facebook Live and then take your calls at 410-319-8888. Over on Facebook Live, Gabrielle is saying a black man who doesn't have a black wife cannot speak for the black community. And there we have it. Felicia says his ignorance is why Ohio thought it was okay to give Tamir Rice's killer a new police job. I just want to make a note, Felicia, I read today that that killer of Tamir Rice, who was offered the police job, has actually pulled his name. He did not accept the job because of the pushback from the black community, which I appreciate. Jamila said, please ask, do the Kanye supporters support and plan to vote for Trump? All of you out there who love Kanye, or as my last caller said, Kunye, are you planning to vote for Donald Trump? Are you putting this man back in office? Dwayne says, well, any intelligent black person can speak, but that does not mean the community will listen. Kanye may have a good intention on the road to hell, but because of what he has said, we have a difficulty listening. Skokie said, did Jim Brown say anything publicly at the meeting? No, Jim, he didn't. He actually sat right by Kanye and did not say a word. I was surprised, Skokie, that Jim Brown was in there. Now, maybe he spoke when the cameras went off, but when the cameras were on, it was all Kanye with a little bit of Trump, and Trump then said, let's go have lunch. Reg Coleman says, what does Kanye's visit to the White House have to do with you? When famous white people go there, there's no media circus. Why is it when, and this is what I'm talking about, another black person has a different political views that we immediately attack them for that? It's like we cannot be individual people. Dorothy said, who was the black woman at lunch with them? Did any of the lunch guests get a chance to speak? If they spoke, Dorothy, they didn't speak with the cameras watching and listening. The cameras were watching and listening for that discussion between Kanye with his soliloquy and Donald Trump's hands folded, smiling and shaking his head. And he actually turned to Jim when Kanye finished. Jim, do you have anything to say? And Jim Brown just shook his head. Smart man. Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. Eric from Randallstown has been holding. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dr. K. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Wonderful. I'd like to make three quick points.
Sure.
One about Kanye, one about black women, and three about Governor Hogan.
Okay.
With regards to Kanye, the problem isn't Kanye West, because Donald Trump is good at finding an Uncle Tom to come and speak and that he can show the buffoonery to the world to.
Right.
The problem is Cory Booker, Maxine Waters, and all of these black
right.
experts are not coming out and denouncing the fact that he's speaking on our behalf.
Right.
And the reason why they're not coming out is because they don't want to be viewed or labeled as pro-black.
Mm.
And when you're an elected official and you're viewed as pro-black, that means you will not be reelected.
Right.
So that's my first point.
Right, and I want to add to that. I wanted to, there's been some talk that Cory Booker has already started his campaign towards the White House and that Kamala Harris also might be looking towards the White House. So there's some thoughts that they're on the platform now.
And even still, in order for them to even be seriously considered,
right,
they will not say anything on behalf of pushing the black agenda.
Right.
The closest that they're going to get is to talk about diversity.
Right.
And we all know diversity is the code word that says everybody but us.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and with regards to the black women,
yes,
I put them on high, and I tell everybody, every black woman is high maintenance. They should be held up on a on a pedestal. Because don't forget, they are the original Me Too.
Right, yes.
And when you talk about the reasons why white men are never persecuted for rape, and I understand that Harvey Weinstein, some charges were dismissed.
Yeah, when one count was tossed out, yes.
You know, white men were never held accountable for raping black women for hundreds of years.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
So, and my last point with regards to Governor Hogan, for all those Uncle Toms that want to push Republican, as well as all of the Democratic Party that was slow to endorse Ben Jealous, don't forget, people, we're not just voting for a governor. The next governor is going to be appointing up to 5 judges.
Wow.
And that
That's
is the agenda.
Point. That's a good point.
As you listen, and that was the whole thing with this whole national thing with the Supreme Court.
Right.
I can't even think of his name, but he, doggone it, the senator that looks like a turtle.
Okay. which could be anything.
He basically said not only was it important for the Republicans to put Kavanaugh in, they wanted to continue to hold control so they could continue to appoint federal judges.
Yes, conservative judges.
All those who love
people. All right.
All right, and that's what I wanted to add.
All right, thank you so much, Erica. I appreciate you. All right, we have Gene on from Pikesville. Gene, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Dr. K. In the vernacular, what did I told you? About Kanye the other day. So anyway, so everybody's pretty much on the same page with Kanye. Kanye is, okay, first of all, the young man said, I hate it when they call people Uncle Toms, because if you read Harriet Beecher Stowe, it was Sambo who is the most dangerous
right.
black person in the or Negro, whatever, in our community. Sambo, that's the one who's saying one thing to you, and then when he goes in front of the white man, he's saying something else, is snitching on you. So that's who Sambo was, not Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom, it was benign compared to Sambo.
Right.
And so much less dangerous, because Uncle Tom at least had your interests at heart. Kanye, what can I say? Where was I going to go? Okay.
So is he? So he's not an Uncle Tom. You think he's really a Sambo?
Yeah, he's a Sambo. So Booker T. Washington. This is, to me, this now is the teachable moment. And we have to look at Booker T. Washington, who was the leader of the black community during Jim Crow. You know, just to be mildly. That's when black people... They took the vote from us after what they call the Compromise 1877.
Right.
And during that period up to 1954, it was Booker T. Washington, you know, who, for a good part of that period, who was the black leader. And Booker T. Washington worked in unison with people like Andrew Carnegie, Henry Ford.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of...
people who were putting money up for some of the things that were actually helping to develop the community.
Well, yeah, exactly. So that's how he got money, to finance Tuskegee. Yeah. But it was a dangerous period where black people were literally kidnapped off the street, beat up, and lynched. And so Booker T. Washington navigated that period for us.
Yeah.
Kanye can't even touch Booker T. Washington's cuffs on his pants.
I would add into that not Booker T. Washington, not Jesus Christ, Gandhi. I mean, some of the names that were mentioned, I'm floored by.
And at times, in more modern history, especially during the period that I went to school, Booker T. Washington was vilified.
Yes.
But
his record speaks for himself.
Booker T. Washington was courageous.
Right.
As far as I was concerned, Kanye is what he is. He's a buffoon, and he's also. We just have to be careful of people like that.
All right. I got to stop you there. Thank you so much, sir. We have Mr. Carter on from Columbia. Mr. Carter, how are you?
How you doing, dear?
I'm doing well.
You remember me? I've been on your show many times.
You have been.
This one, boy, I tell you, it just don't get no better and better, does it? Kanye is just like you say, he's got money. And he feels that he can do anything and say anything.
Yeah.
But he does not represent the black.
No, he does not.
But like that lady say, if you got a Caucasian wife, you're going to represent us.
Right.
And he don't even know, I don't even know if he know he's black. Be honest.
Well, you know, here's what I want to say this, Mr. Carter, because what I think is interesting is when I looked at, you know, I don't really know a lot about Kanye, but to hear that his mother was a chair of the English department at Chicago State University and his father was a former Black Panther, I am sure that in that house he received some understanding of what it meant to be Black in America from two people who were known for their activist work just in two different ways.
Well, he may have forgotten it. Then I'm trying to figure out what went wrong.
Yes.
Because every time you turn around with this dude, there's always something going wrong. Now, you tell me who on their right mind is going to come to the White House and kneel.
Come on.
Come on now. Let's be real. And then, you know, white media love that.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Well, here we got our token again and everything. I'm going to get off. But you know what?
I thought it was ridiculous.
These things just really... It pisses me off so much.
Yeah.
It really does. And it's really a shame where this country is now.
Yeah.
That goes to show you how far this country is. Yeah. And our people, I don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely... This is, to me, just another indication that we need to figure out very quickly who are the leaders for the Black community. People have always asked, well, who's leading us now? I am not saying that we're walking around blind in need of some leaders, but who are the people who are speaking for us right now? Who are they?
And what's bad? And then when we want to put somebody that's speaking for us, like this buffoon, you know, it's just like, you know, this, we worship him. And what bothers me is that every time he turn around, he's always coming up in something. He can't even maintain his own life.
Yes, he is. He said he's dealing with some things right now. Thank you so much, Mr. Carter. We have Buddy on the phone. Buddy, how are you?
Look, it's like, I don't know, do everybody who got money be crazy? You know, because I'm just saying, just because he got money, and it's like, even Richard Steele, he changed a little bit, because when he was first running for that part that he hadn't helped that president win, he talked about Black people real bad, but he done calmed down a lot.
Right.
But what Kanye West is doing, because he got money and the status quo, he just looking for, I don't know, accolades or whatever, but he can't represent nobody because he's ignorant to me. But the bottom line is, man, it's just when people get money, their status quo change because they be put another Democrat. Look, we was brought up poor, and when we start getting money, we change to be a Republican because Republicans want to keep their money.
Right.
And so that's what he thinks because he's his friend, and he probably want to be like Donald.
Oh, that's amazing. But that's what he was saying. I mean, I think he kind of sees himself as someone who can follow the path of Donald Trump. Remember, at this point, thanks to Donald Trump and the 54% of white women who put Donald Trump in office, Donald Trump has said, you don't need qualifications, you don't need character, you don't need high moral standings. And I'm not saying any president has ever had that. I'm saying if they ever did, all that's out the window now. You can just get in there any other way. You don't even need experience.
It's so much different when we get money. We say all these things on the way up, and then we get up and we change and forget about that we was down the bottom.
I agree. Thank you so much, buddy. We have Dwayne on from Baltimore. Dwayne, how are you?
Just happy to be here. look, Kanye West is really just kind of a sideshow. Okay?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, Trump, you know, is winning, you know, because look at the vitriol and the hate that's coming through us about Kanye. We need every Black person that draws breath to help raise up the Black community.
Right.
Okay. And Kanye right now, you know, is like the prodigal son. Okay, but what blows my mind is when some of the people call up and they talk about the Kamala Harrises and the Cory Bookers, you know, and being highly critical of them. Look, you know, if they didn't, politics is not a blood sport. Would we rather not have the Kamala Harrises and the Cory Bookers there, and it just be no Black people there?
Right. No.
I mean, sometimes it blows my mind some of the things that these people say because it tells me that are we thinking at all? Those people, politics is a blood sport, okay? And those people have the hardest, the Black politicians have some of the hardest jobs trying to do what they do, okay? And a lot of times, you know, it's a thankless job. It's a thankless job.
Well, I'm glad she was at the table. I'm glad Senator Kamala Harris and Senator Cory Booker, I was glad that they were at the table when they were dealing with Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford. I mean, I just wanted to have at least some people there that looked like me, that had some of the interests that I have at heart and who asked the hard questions. I mean, yeah, I like what Senator Harris said. I like what Senator Booker said, at least in this particular interest. So I'm with you. We're so critical. I'd rather have, at this point, the people that we have pushing forward at least some of our interests. They cannot be the president of just the black community. We're only 13.1% of the population.
Exactly.
I mean, the president of the entire country.
Please say that again.
I mean, it's for people, but this is how they get confused. We don't have the numbers. We don't have the numbers.
Some people act like it's 60-40 out there.
No, it's not.
It's not even close. Okay, and we alienate the other minorities half the time.
Yeah.
We need them as allies, okay, because if something pop off, we need allies.
We don't have the numbers.
Like 50% of the population. No, we're not. We need the numbers.
And we're not even predicted, according to the U.S. Census, we're not even predicted to get the numbers. They're expecting the numbers for black folks by the time 2045. We remain flat at 13.1%. White folks are shrinking. Hispanic folks are growing. Asian folks are growing. Black people are staying flat at 13.1%. That is a prediction up to 2045.
Yeah.
So we don't have the numbers, and we won't get the numbers.
Dr. K,
yes.
You can be our leader, though.
Oh, that's what I'm planning on. No, I'm a revolution right here at WEAA, taking over the world.
Hey, you can run for governor. You can run. You can be the mayor of Baltimore.
Thank you so much. I'm going to stop there before I end up committing to something I don't want to commit to. Thank you for calling. We have Miss Lewis on the phone. She's a new caller from Randallstown. Miss Lewis, welcome to the family.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dr. K. I have one comment about Kanye West. I believe that we already know that he's bipolar, and I feel like he's not taking his medicine. This is like typical behavior of someone who's been diagnosed as mentally ill and not taking their medication. So why are we surprised when we already know his diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a matter of getting him some additional assistance.
Now, you know, he said today that he's not. He said, they told me I had bipolar disorder. That person was wrong. My new psychiatrist said he's sleep deprived. His only problem is that he can't count backwards. He said that's the only test that he failed, but he's simply sleep deprived. He does not have bipolar anymore as of today, according to Kanye's own words. He said he's fine.
Okay, so that's what the problem is. Misdiagnosed, and he is not being medicated. And these are the people that cause crimes. We sit there and watch, and we can't do anything because our hands are tied, and then they commit crimes or eventually hurt themselves or others.
I'm with you. I like that, Miss Lewis. I'm saying it.
That's what I believe.
I mean,
we're not helping it.
Yeah. Who's the new psychiatrist that came in and told you to count backwards? I mean, somebody called my show and said, that's not even a test for bipolar disorder to have you look at numbers and count back. Now, they did have my son count backwards, but he was trying to get into kindergarten. So I'm just saying, I don't know what Kanye's talking about. I know there is a test, but it was also jump on one foot, count backwards, all these stuff for kindergartens, but I don't know. Thank you, Ms. Lewis, for joining the family. We have Desiree. She's a new caller as well. Welcome to the family, Desiree.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Cool.
Yes.
I just got one thing to say about Kanye West.
Yes, ma'am.
Mental illness.
Mm.
That's one thing in the black community we don't want to talk about.
You're absolutely
we
right.
want to talk about everything else. Mental illness is real. And you're actually watching it live, and it's not a joke. That's mental illness.
Now, what's interesting, I want to just add to that, Desiree, because when I took a look at T.J. Smith, who, of course, was the Baltimore City Chief Police Spokesperson up until he resigned yesterday, one of the things he mentioned in his resignation letter, the one he put on Facebook, there's a whole paragraph in there about mental illness, about the fact that this is kind of the whispered secret in the black community that needs to be dealt with if we want to start dealing with crime and homicide numbers.
Uh-huh.
You're absolutely right. Thank you so much, Desiree, for calling. We also have Carlos on. He's a new call from East Baltimore. Carlos, welcome to the family.
Hi, how you doing, doctor?
I'm doing well.
Beautiful day.
Thank you. How you doing?
Well, I'm well. I wanted to comment about the whole mental illness thing and being bipolar and tied into crime and things like that. I'm bipolar. I've been diagnosed bipolar. Been bipolar for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
No crime, no trouble here. I can't say that it's a bipolar thing or just a full mental health problem.
Mm.
I think it's bipolar.
Okay.
It's everything. It's all the way around. It's schools. It's the crime in the schools. It's the way that the school's being kept. You know what I mean? And when you break it down from beginning and then you see where we at now and how things are. You know what I mean? Even put in this situation, some of us make it out. You know what I mean? Some of us don't. And the ones that can't make it out might have mental illnesses, might need help. You know what I mean? Or something like that. But
right.
For us to come out and say, hey, I got bipolar, is for somebody to look at us and say, oh, that is crazy. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this, Carlos. As somebody who has, you said you've been diagnosed as bipolar for the last 15 years. Yep. Are you able to recognize that in Kanye? Because everyone's calling, going, he's not taking his meds. He is bipolar. He says he's not. Is this something that you can see some of the symptoms and say, what he's struggling with, I see that in myself. Well, I've had that.
I can say that I can't say that it's bipolar, but right. I can see that there's a mental issue.
Right. And I know you're not a mental health professional. I was just asking right. as someone who has, yeah. who's going through it.
Right, because it's like, okay, you said, like, you know, bipolar, we had times where we feel godly, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we can do absolutely anything, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then we had times where we feel like we can't do anything at all, you know what I mean? So it could be a episode that Kanye is going through, you know what I mean? But to notice it and say, okay, Kanye, we're going through an episode right now. You need to calm down, watch what you're saying, go back and get some help. You know what I mean?
You don't know.
Nobody's going to tell him that.
And so I just want to make a note, folks who are listening, please understand that Carlos, neither Carlos nor I, we're not putting him forward as an expert. Carlos is someone who's been diagnosed with bipolar, has been dealing with for the last 15 years, and I was simply asking his opinion, not for a medical diagnosis. Carlos, thank you so much for calling, sir. We have Phil on the line from Maryland. Phil, how are you?
Not too well.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I would like people to look at in their history books of William Monroe Trotter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Trotter was in a similar situation where he spoke to Woodrow Wilson about 100 years ago, and the press was all there. But instead of being like Kanye, he confronted Woodrow Wilson about discrimination in the federal government, and he was vilified afterwards. Trotter and Booker T. Washington didn't get along because Trotter called things the way he saw it. Sadly, I look at Kanye today, and I think back to the memory of William Monroe Trotter, and it saddens me. It's like we just saw an African-American tragedy play out on major networks, right?
Right.
I mean, it was just sad.
I went and looked up Trotter. I just want to add people, just in case they didn't know, but I want to just add a couple, if you don't mind, I just want to add here. He was an activist for African-American civil rights. He founded the Boston Guardian, which was an independent African-American newspaper. He contributed to the formation of the NAACP. And this is a very important point, people. He was the first man of color to earn a Phi Beta Kappa key from Harvard University, where he got his graduate and his postgraduate degrees.
But it's just sad, ma'am, you know, because Okay, I'm an old guy. I went back to college. I wrote a paper on William Monroe Trotter, right? And I looked at Kanye. I was like, I cannot believe this guy, right? I'm sure Trotter's looking down from heaven and probably turned over in his grave.
Yeah, you know? No, I agree.
And to see Kanye exploited like that by Trump, that's even worse.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at Kanye allowing himself to be exploited. Because I'm sitting there saying, what did Kanye, or anyone who advises Kanye, if he's listening, what do they think was going to happen? He didn't have to come in there and get down on one knee and kneel. He didn't have to run across and hug. Like, some of this stuff that he did, that's Kanye making those decisions.
And, ma'am, I think Kanye, just going to say, I may be wrong, okay? It's just speculation, okay? All right, have you noticed, like, with the right wing, and you'll see on these Newsmax, whatever, and they say the best-selling book, right? Well, I think Kanye is trying to exploit that to get some kind of financial benefit from doing this.
Right.
Just like those so-called authors have these best-selling books that you never see in the bookstore, but they bestsellers.
Right.
Right?
That he's trying to get into something. Oh, I agree.
And for example, look at the tennis shoes, right? The NBA's not going to use them. Okay? They're banned in the NBA because of the way they're designed, okay? I think Kanye may have financial issues, and he's trying to exploit the situation.
All right. Thank you so much, Phil. We have Kevin on the phone from Baltimore. Kevin, how are you?
To you, no disrespect to you or the listeners, but everybody keeps talking about the rap. I don't even have to say his name. I thought the topic was about prison reform, and who appointed him? I mean, how does that work? And I haven't heard no callers or nobody say nothing about the topic, which is prison reform.
No,
everybody talking about Kanye West and laughing and joking, and it's a big turnoff. I listen to your show every day.
I'm glad we have a person like you. We need more people like you. But we're getting away from what the topic was. I thought it was supposed to have been he went there for prison reform. And who appointed him? Or who was supposed to talk about prison reform? How does that work? I haven't heard nothing about that. But
and
everybody talking about this rapper guy. He getting hated, so I don't want to hear no more about him.
Right. Now, I will say the reason why we put prison reform on it is because when the, now again, this is the media, when the media reported on what Kanye stated was his agenda for meeting with Trump, prison reform was one of the issues, along with racism. He wanted to talk about that. He wanted to talk about Make America Great. And so he did cover prison reform. He did one or two sentences on prison reform, but connected that to the 13th Amendment. That's all he really mentioned. He may have talked about more over the lunch where there were no cameras present. But while the cameras were on, he connected prison reform to ending, abolishing the 13th Amendment.
Okay.
Oh, that's it. Thank you so much, Kevin. So, folks, we have spent a lot of time talking about Kanye, which is okay. In the last minute, I want to play a quick clip because I think it's important for us to remember that today is International Day of Girls. I want to play a quick clip from one of the spokeswomen, and she had this to say.
Boys are always given the priority. They're taught to be confident, and the girls are taught to be submissive, taught to be quiet, taught not to be loud.
Not to use their voice.
And not to use their voice.
Any money the family could scrape together went to her brother's education first.
I had my first shoe when I was 13 years old.
13 years old.
When I got those shoes, it was like the best day of my life. But I realized that really, from my own family, it's a curse to be a girl. This is wrong. Something needs to change.
The way they look at themselves.
So Monica turned that curse into a crusade, demanding that she go to school too and becoming the first in her family to graduate from college.
Are we together?
But instead of leaving these slums, she came back.
You went to university in London.
Yes.
You could have stayed there.
I could have stayed there, but I said no. This is not who I am. Because if more and more educated girls left, then who will do it?
Aspire, inspire.
So she created Girl Up Uganda, a program that teaches all girls to demand more.
So that was Monica Inyaragubabwa. And I know I probably slaughtered her last name. I feel so bad about that. They did not, in any of the news reports, give her last name. So I'm only going by the spelling. She's a remarkable woman whose program is called Girl Up Uganda, is creating change for girls across her community. She is profiled in Michelle Obama's Global Girls Alliance. Today is the International Day of Girls. Folks, if you have a daughter, no matter what her age, today is a day to remind her of her power, remind her of her brilliance, and remind her that the world needs her and what she has to offer. We're going to leave it here for now. Today with Dr. K's production of WEAA. The show is produced by Justina Pollard, along with our intern, Deja Edwards. Our board operators are Andre Melton and Charlie Hines. Stay tuned, because up next is For the Culture with Faraji. Remember, folks, that here on Today with Dr. K, your voice matters, your opinion matters. We are telling stories that matter. We are here for you. We are listening, because if it has your ear, you better believe it has my attention. Right here on WEAA, 88.9 FM, absolutely the voice of the community. Keep it here for an update from MTA and make an appointment at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Meet me here. We're going to talk about lynching. You do not want to miss tomorrow's show. Thank you for listening.